a recording of the July 26, 2017 regular board of directors meeting to convene at 4 p.m. at the Chief Hatch Boardroom.
I call to order the Chugach Electric Association regular board of directors meeting. It is July 26th and it is 4:03. Let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Okay, Pledge of Allegiance roll call. We have all directors present. We have directors Parks, Henderson, Cooper, Chastain, and Reeves, and myself present. Director Crawford has requested an excused absence. Oh, is Director Crawford coming today? Oh, he's not.
I don't believe so.
Okay, so we are missing Director Crawford, so that's the roll call. But I would like a motion to approve Director Crawford's absence for July for this meeting. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion and Jim Henderson second. All those in favor of excused absence for Director Crawford, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none. That passes, and we will go on to safety.
Well, I think we can see from the slide in front of us that the topic is safe driving tips. I got eight of them up there. So let's go through them. So the first one, assume other motorists will do something crazy and be prepared to do something to avoid it. I can tell you my time in Kuwait, this one saved my life several times because Kuwaitis tended to make left-hand turns from all locations on the highway, including four lanes over. And so probably less of that here in Alaska, but I think all of us can probably remember a time where a motorist did something crazy and we anticipated it.
And I must say that happened to me at lunchtime today. I pulled up to a four-way stop. I looked both directions, started to go, and this guy flew through the intersection doing about 40 miles an hour with no stop.
Wow.
That was close.
Everyone's going, I hope it wasn't me. You know?
Was it a Chugach truck?
No, it was
no, thank God.
Okay, it's not a little wagon. It's fine. Keep a two-second cushion between you and the car in front of you. This is a pretty good one to be mindful of. It's also self-reinforcing. I think a lot of us have probably encroached upon that safety tip and had some near misses, and we go, oh yeah, that's right, 2 seconds at 60 miles an hour is actually quite a few car lengths. All of us who drive in Alaska probably see this one not followed all that well, especially going up the Glen Highway at rush hour. But that cushion does make a difference should traffic come to a halt. Make adjustments for weather. Every time I drive down Minnesota, I see several people in the median who were not successfully making adjustments for the weather, which in the wintertime, at a minimum, means driving slower and taking into account the ice and the snow that's built up. Don't drive drowsy. That speaks for itself. We've all probably experienced that at some point in our life and pull over to the road, get a rest, grab some coffee and whatnot. Don't speed was actually in the news this week. I think it was a couple days ago on the national news. They were talking about speeding and the research that says that the faster you drive, the more likely you are to be involved in an accident, so on and so forth. And talking about law enforcement ramping up their speeding enforcement along the lines of trying to get drivers to drive slower. Avoid distractions was also in the news. In fact, I was just talking to someone earlier about what just passed in Washington. Does anyone know what passed in Washington? A new distracted driving bill, which now makes it illegal to do several things in the car, one of which is to eat food, apply mascara, apply makeup, brush your teeth, things like that. But also, it says that you cannot drive your car holding onto your phone. So even driving like this at a stoplight, well, you're not driving a stoplight, but if you hold your phone at a stoplight, a police officer could cite you for that. Well, let me ask you this question. Why do you suppose Washington ramped up their rulemaking and their regulations around this topic?
Accidents.
Yeah, and what we say is safety can be a cruel teacher. So a lot of this is founded in the reality that those distractions result in senseless deaths on the highway, and Washington said enough is enough. We could all argue about how easy or not easy it is to enforce these things. But at the end of the day, kudos to Washington for saying, hey, we're going to ramp things up and at least get the message out there that we shouldn't be driving distracted, which we seem to be doing more and more these days when we have all this technology. Plan your trip. Usually what that means is if you're getting lost, we've all been there. I'm probably at the worst in terms of driving when I'm lost because I tend to get stressed out and make turns where I should. So if we plan out our trips in advance, that reduces the risk. The last one up there is a typo. It should say, don't drive under the influence. Now, the reason I retype that is, I don't know, I was just thinking through this. The original phrase was, don't drink and drive. So why do you suppose I retyped it into that phrase?
It's not just drinking.
Yeah, well, I thought, wait a minute, we all go out to a restaurant, have one beer, and is that a message I'm going to give? Now, if I really wanted to make the message, I could say no drinking and driving. I don't know how realistic that is. The real message should be don't drive under the influence. Excuse me.
It is don't drink under the influence.
Yeah, don't drive under the influence, which requires what? It requires self-assessment of what that means, and some people are real good at figuring that out. Some people less so. So if I retyped that, it would be don't drink and drive. It's the safest way it could be. So there's 8 tips to think about. I think as you think through them, they all resonate in their own way through your own experience. Questions? Comments? All right, so over here, we have something for your car. Indirectly, I think it would make you safer because it's going to keep your Apple devices charged up at all times. So these all go to Apple products. When I first grabbed them, I grabbed 2 Microsofts by accident, so I go, wait a minute, I can't have you guys fighting over which. So I returned them. But these all go to Apple. They're really nice chargers for your car, so there is a connection to driving. So that's what we have for this week.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right,
questions, comments? All right, remember not to drink under the influence of driving from here on out. So away we go. All right, approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
I think it was Parks. Sorry. You got to go faster. There's a motion, a second, to approve the agenda. Any discussion regarding the agenda? Hearing none, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, the agenda passes. Persons to be heard? I don't see that we have any visitors in the audience, so there are no persons to be heard. Let's go on to the consent agenda. Just take a quick look at the consent agenda. I don't think there's really anything in there to point out that we haven't already discussed at some point. Any comments on the consent agenda? Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda? Second?
Second.
Motion second to approve the consent agenda. Any further discussion or any discussion at all? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The consent agenda is approved. All right, CEO reports and correspondence. Is there anything in there? I think it's all very well explained in your materials. Is there anything in there that anybody would like to talk about or bring to the rest of the board's attention?
Is there anything on AMI update that we should know? There's no
That was a verbal, so we'll have to cover that one. So, Paul, do you want to walk through the AMI update?
Nice.
Yeah. Okay, AMI update.
Yeah, as you probably are very familiar with or aware of, we're very far into the project, started in 2014 with a functional test of a couple hundred, and we're looking at getting done in 2021, you know, 7 years. Of course, it's all accelerated. Things went far more efficiently than our early numbers indicated it might be, which is all a great thing. So we're looking at the primary contractor doing the installations, Hotwire, subsidiary of Chinigiri Corporation. They are going to be taken off the project on August 9th. We've advanced that much residential work because the project has advanced that much. We're looking overall, we got some more meters than the original numbers because of load growth. That's about 1,000 more meters. And there are virtually, we've split 77,500 or so done this last Monday. And MPC will be completing residential installations. Previously, they've been doing our connects, disconnects. Well, with AMIN, they don't do connects and disconnects, and so we had to move them over to do some of the AMI installations. And then the commercial enterprise AMIs are primarily done by our shop, and it should be done sometime before the end of the year. The thought here is we're going to wrap up that work, and then we'll have a more formal presentation maybe in October, and I'll try to get some numbers and graphs and show you the benefits that we are now seeing, and we are seeing them. I have a few numbers here just to indicate preliminary numbers, and then when we get to October, I'll have a little more formal set of data. We have communications. Well, there are kind of three pieces. We have the head end here in the office that was installed right from the get-go. And then we built a communication network to communicate with all these, and it has terms like collectors and routers, and they go on some antennas, and that's brought back to our microwave. So we have a little bit of work left on that. Collectors, originally we thought there'd be 15. We moved it up to 17. You know, we didn't have coverage as good as we would like. Sometimes the communications bounce through AMI meters from one to the others. Occasionally we'd get stuck, so we enhanced the communication system. That also includes adding routers. Originally it was 110, we're going to 115. So that's, again, this AMI communication network. So a few more there. As I was mentioning, in the meters, originally was 79,995, essentially 80,000. We're looking at finalizing with 81,065. As of Monday, it was 77,257. So, talking about a budget, where we're at, the original budget was 14,050,000. With some of the additional work, we're looking at a final estimate cost of about 14,660,000. Maybe half of that reflects the adding the additional meters, and then some of the communications that goes with that, and some of the work we did this last winter where we had a second crew and we're working in the winter. Efficiency is a little less, but acceleration went up. Overall, we had estimated we saved about $1 million a year. That was, and I'll give you some of the specific things we're seeing. Number of connects and disconnects within the ball, the call it the remote and then the more local ones. At least recently from 2015, we have a total of 15,500. So we'd send a crew out to do a disconnect, and then you send the crew out to, so they pull a meter and they put another meter in. So we save roughly $50 for every one of those, so that represents $750,000. Remote connects and disconnects. So remote, you know, we're talking anything over by Beluga, Tyonek, or Whittier, essentially out of town, Hope, and so forth. Those are more expensive. You're looking at, well, we try to do it efficiently and tie with other work, roughly it's $500 each to a couple thousand dollars each if you go into Tyonek and crew two and you're flying an airplane. And again, we try to tie it to other work, but still, it's a lot of money. So that represents about $432,000. We've got the benefits meter reading. There's a little bit of meter reading, but it's virtually stopped. So we had three meter readers. Two of them have moved into CSR roles, and we have one remaining meter reader that may or may not retire and really isn't doing a lot of meter reading, but doing some other work, hanging tags and so forth, and doing inspections. When you move in, move out, we do a read. And it's an amazing number to me that we have 15,000 to 18,000 of those reads a year. Has a lot of people moving in and out of 80,000 meters.
Yeah, that.
So there's a lot of movement, but you got to read them within a few days. Well, now, you can read them right here. I'm not sending anybody out there to do that kind of work. The revenue assurance side, When you look at tampering, I mean, we've seen this. Some people knew how to tamper with the old meters. You put a little boot on them, and you plug the meter back in, and they pull it up and plug it back in. Now you have the new AMI meter, and pull it up, and they plug it back in, and we see an outage. And we can see meter operation. And they wonder why it doesn't work, actually. Because we have disconnect switch in there now. So revenue assurance has improved. I don't have a real quantification. I'm looking to, in October, have something better in that regard. So you have this billing efficiency. You know, you get some misreads while you're doing reads, or you can miss some meters. So you're doing some estimating, and then you got to do corrections. So things associated with inaccuracy, you're trying to find highs and lows. Again, we get 15-minute data. We virtually, they're all very accurate. So the billing efficiency has improved dramatically. The location data. So going through this whole process, we had a rougher idea where all the meters were from a GIS standpoint. You know, when you have an outage, you're sending somebody somewhere. Sometimes they got to go search for this meter, but you know, what might have been 50 to 100 foot range is now a 20 foot range with the new GIS data. Again, so you get enhanced operation, you get a speedier recovery, you know, reduced time for the metering type activities in that regard because of the greater accuracy there. You're probably well aware of our discussion earlier about the overall outage enhancements. You know, it's tied to the OMS system. We see outages. We can aggregate the data. We can understand the outages. You've heard about that one. We can repair outages or detect outages without members knowing it. Send a crew out there and fix it. They're on vacation. You know, their frozen moose meat still stays frozen. May or may not appreciate that if they don't even know about it, but so we know how they don't appreciate it when their moose meat melts. And just overall greater situational awareness when we have an issue in locating faults and restoring outages. It used to be we really didn't know if we fully restored an outage. You go out there and there's a fuse that's blown and you fix the fuse and there might have been a tree in another location on whatever that circuit was. And it wasn't until we got a call back. But now we can look at the last meter and go, yep, it's restored all the way back. So great stuff. The quality of the connects and disconnects. So, you know, a meter's leaving and I want my power stopped because I don't want to pay any more money. Oh, well, they can do it over the phone. Or somebody moves in and, I left my power turned on. And we can turn the power on instantaneously. You know, and if they're used to the old methods, we've got to wait. Somebody goes out there and does the work, they're very happy about that experience. So that's great. Voltage monitoring, I mean, now we can look at voltage at the end of the circuit and go, is it good or is it bad? You know, there's other beneficial aspects. We found during this process roughly 70 failed meter bases. So you pull a meter, the base fails, and we repair them through the process. Rough order of magnitude, anticipating about 1%, should be about, you know, on the order of 800. And we're finding less than 0.1%, and we repair them. So, again, good for the members, good for us, in terms of improving the overall system. Unbilled revenue. This is where a meter is either improperly operating, you know, not reading correctly, or wasn't working at all, or somehow missed. And again, we cleaned up that. You can't track what we didn't know. So I don't know. I'll try to see if I can come up with a number for improvements we've had there. Another element really to benefits and labor is we're not sending people and people to our personnel, people's backyards. We don't need to in the middle of winter. You know, huge safety improvement. Again, measuring what didn't happen is hard to do, but we know it's a significant safety improvement. Low research. So we had special meters we had sent out. It was a pretty good number, like 5,000, and then our meter shop would send somebody out to read these on a regular basis. Again, we have 15-minute data at every location, and not only do we have a better set of data, a larger set of data, we have 15-minute intervals. We don't need to send somebody out to read this, and we have it available to us. So another one I don't have a firm figure on right now is loop wagon activity. If you wanted to connect or disconnect after hours, if we had any other issue related to meters that we needed to address after hours, we'd be sending out a loop wagon. Again, greatly diminished. I don't have a number. Future benefits. We've talked about that to a great extent. We see some of those future benefits today, actually. So like I said, oxymoron by saying that. But the issue there is if you look at your portal on Chugach and you want to look at your personal use, well, now you have hourly use, you can look at it. You can do that today, and that's going to be expanded with a lot of potential here. Talk about with the idea of Zigbee and home area networks. We're exploring what we might do there and offering that as a service. If we do MDM meter data management here, we're just gathering so much more information that we may learn from, and the data analysis we get from that. We can see how our transformers are loaded now. So you can see if they're overloaded. We can manage our transformers better in that regard. We talk about expanding some of our offerings, time of use offerings now, because we can say use at time of day. Potentially a prepayment option. I'm debating how green power renewables, how we might work that into the AMI. Potentially we could do KVAR billing, so power factor billing. You know, where people, you know, if you use a motor, your power factor goes way down, and we may be able to do that. It might be another revenue source. We might be telling people to clean up their power utilization, going, you need to do something about this, where they need more voltage support than they do real power. There's another thing. We might put fault monitors on the system and link it to our communication network. They have already established a couple ways of doing this, but if you put it on a distribution line, put a fault monitor, you can further enhance indication where faults may have taken place. So those are just some of the future concepts going there, and there'll be more. Again, I'm kind of looking forward to a presentation here near the end of the project so we can see some of the factual data of where we're at and the values we're actually achieving, which we see some numbers already.
Okay, questions for Paul? Ms. Stewart?
Just a couple. Is there any historical information about people trying to hack into these systems? I would think with our young creative minds of kids nowadays, someone's going to try it, and that may be some potential risk out there. I'm not sure if it's ever been done. But overall, I do think these are great because we can also leverage on the data, instantaneous data, and start looking at trends and ways to improve systems.
I don't have the answer for you today, and I'll give you the answer in October maybe. I think my approach might be, as part of it, is essentially go to the vendors and ask them what they've experienced to date and see what else we can find. But this is a great question, and it's certainly of concern. It is one more piece of risk on our system that we can connect and disconnect, and if someone's able to hack into there, that piece, or if you have a home area network offering, can they hack into that piece and mess up somebody's refrigerator or stove on, you know, whatever. Well, those are very good concerns.
Okay, Susan.
It's sort of a related question. I've heard from several people, and what friendly little old lady in my neighborhood, this fear that we have this sophisticated device that can monitor their home in some way. And that was kind of a flash in the pan. I did a lot about that for a week or so, and then nothing. Did that just run out, or did we do something to expose? explain to people that we weren't trying to figure out when they were having an affair. We were just trying to
Well, you know, we do have the macro view of their power use, but let me give a plus and a minus.
Macro view.
That's right.
The plus is, you know, people call it a CSR, and Teresa, feel free to speak up. They will call a CSR and go, you know, I have an issue with, it seems like, you know, my bill's high. And we can look at their power right then and there, potentially ascertain what's going on. You can see things switch on, you can see things switch off. Some people, hey, you know what? You got this heater in your shed, and if you turn that off, and hey, you know what? We can see a big drop in your utilization right now. Maybe you want to have a different thought about heating your shed and or use a different form of heating.
We don't just know the combined load. We know the load of each of their appliances?
No, but if they do some switching operation, we can see the change in their combined load.
Okay.
And it can be helpful, and it has been helpful in ascertaining people's issues with their power. If you start getting more in depth with potential, you know, future things, and whether we look at it or it's part of someone else's picture and we're enhancing their home network, I don't know where we want to go with that. We'll be looking at how others have been handling it.
Yeah.
But right now, we see it at that large level, and it can be beneficial.
As a corollary to that, how many folks have refused to have us put the meters in?
Very good question. It's about 70, or I'm 66. I had 66 of them.
66 have refused. And so what's our strategy? What's our strategy for those folks? To continue the way we have? Are we going to charge them extra then?
Oh, maybe Arthur would speak to that.
That's still being looked at. I mean, some of the options that the lower utilities in the lower 48 have done is charge extra for those customers. I think we are looking at that as one option.
Okay. But we haven't. Other questions for Paul or comments? Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah. All right. My reading is that potentially I can be authorized to look at the readout from the AMI on my home computer and see that change. I can actually turn things off and on and see the change in the battery.
With implementation of the Zigbee concept or the home area network, that would be, again, that would be to your advantage to be able to look at it directly. Right now, again, you can go through a portal that you get and see bigger increments in historical ones as opposed to right now.
Very cool. Stuart, go ahead.
That's 15-minute intervals.
15 minutes. You know, it doesn't work perfectly 15 minutes because there's time lag sometimes for the communications.
Right.
As we collect the data, it is 15-minute intervals, but not necessarily within the last 15 minutes. Sometimes a little longer, but it's been very reliable, and with completion of the communication, we try to limit the number of hops a meter takes to get back here, kind of like four or less. And but it can hop, you know, a dozen times.
Okay. Very cool. What was the original schedule? I know we accelerated it, but what was it originally, Paul?
Well, I have that right here.
Oh, well, did we plan this? Did we coordinate this beforehand? No.
This was the original plan.
Okay.
Again, starting in 2014, it ends in 2021.
Okay. And so we're going to end in 2017.
And we're going to end in 2017.
Excellent. Susie.
So when you were kind of saying once, you know, we can start looking at time of day, rates, etc., do we have to wait until it's fully implemented, or can we introduce rates like that
sooner than full implementation?
Right, because then some folks don't have it through no fault of their own, not that they declined it, it's just we haven't gotten that far.
We'll essentially have full implementation here of almost full implementation by the end of August, but
virtually
full implementation by the end of the year. I don't believe we can have a rate case for time of use prepared and approved
sooner. Yeah, I guess I was your question kind of bumped Mike because I was going off the original schedule.
But our original project intent was to focus on this initial project and get it all up and running because we didn't know all the issues we might encounter and complete that and resolve any problems we might encounter and then start branching out on a lot of these other issues that I had just mentioned and the enhanced value activities that we might pursue.
Very good. Any other questions? Well, that's exciting. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
All right. Any other items under CEO reports and correspondence? Lee, did you have anything that you wanted to point out?
I didn't.
Okay. Okay, if not, we'll go on. I do want to mention, I was happened to be here yesterday for a fuel supply meeting, and one of the things I got to sit in on was this is going to be remodeled. This boardroom is going to be remodeled and it updated and turned into just a little bit more modern look. So there's a team out there working on it. Sherry's on it, I know. Paul's on it. Who else? There's a group, right? You're working that. And who else is on it? Oh yeah, yeah. I can't see everybody. There's see now. I will be able to because it's hey, what a segue. It's part of it is to make it easier to read the screen for the people way back there. So we're kind of be bringing everything up, and then having monitors that we can. If you're sitting here, you don't have to see. You don't have to like wave at people to see them behind you and some other monitor. I think you guys will really like it. It was really exciting. So and that's starting right away, right? So anyway, just to let you know that that's in progress and very, very nice project. It seemed like, you know, really fun. So director reports. ARTEC, I don't think we've met.
We haven't met. We have an ARTEC meeting tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
So we'll have more to report then. We haven't had, we've had a board meeting since we had an ARTEC.
Right, and then there's some to report on the RUM meeting that you just had with respect to ARTEC, and we'll do that in executive session.
Yeah.
All right, any other reports? Any other meetings? Slow summer so far. Nothing else. Okay, all right, let's just move on to unfinished business. There is none. And then new business, the appointment of an NRECA voting delegate. This is for the regional meetings mid-September. So can you take it? Who wants to do that?
I can talk about October.
I think ours is mid-September, isn't it, our region?
No,
it's October. Okay, well, they start in September. Ours is in October. So, Connie, do we have to have this delegate picked now?
Yes, because okay. I have to turn the paperwork in to NRECA.
Okay,
there's
so.
A deadline. Right now, Henderson is the voting delegate, and Susan is the alternate.
Okay. So someone who's planning on going.
But who's... Who's not planning on going to the regionals? CC's planning on not going, or is not planning on going, or planning on not going. Both.
Not going, yeah.
She's not going to go. Jim, are you? Well, let's go with who we've got now. Are you planning on going?
Yeah, I'm going to try to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you think you'll go? Is that
yeah,
fairly?
Yeah, I think about 80% chance. I mean, that's something, but I think we're past the.
That's the critical point. Susan, are you planning to go?
I guess it's a maybe.
Okay, so I say we, if you're...
We can,
yeah,
are you,
we're fine with where the way it is.
Well, I know Stuart's going because I already have his tickets.
You are what?
I know Stuart's going because I already have his tickets. He's a for sure 100% he'll be there.
Well.
We can go to Pike Peak again.
That's right.
Okay, you too.
So I'm happy.
No, being hit by a bus.
Well, how about knowing that Stuart's going because he already has his ticket, let's make him at least the alternate. So, who wants to be the delegate?
I'm the delegate.
Okay, you want to be the delegate and Stuart the alternate? How about that? Do we need to vote on this?
I just need to know who they are so I can do the paperwork.
Okay. Does that work for everybody? Or does anybody have a different feeling?
So, Susan Henderson's the...
We don't want to boot you out just because you don't know.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to have Jim be the delegate and Stuart be the alternate.
Okay.
That works for everybody? Okay.
It's that action item.
There is a motion.
Oh, okay. Would somebody please make a motion to that effect?
I move that the Board of Directors appoint Jim Henderson as the NRC voting delegate and Stuart Parks as the alternate.
Second.
Motion second. Any discussion? unless somebody really wants to do this. Okay, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None opposed, so the motion passes unanimously, and so let's have a motion to go into executive session.
I move that pursuant to Alaska Statute 1025-175C1, 2, and 3, the Board of Directors go into executive session to, number one, discuss financial matters, the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect on the finances of the cooperative, two, receive reports upon legal matters that are attorney-client privileged, the immediate knowledge of which would have an adverse effect on the legal position of the cooperative, and three, to discuss personnel matters that may tend to prejudice the reputation or character of a person. However, the person may request a public discussion.
There is a second. Okay, motion is second to go into executive session. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, let's go into executive session, not skipping. All right, back to new business. We have a Battle Creek Project Authorization. Is there a motion?
I move that the Board of Directors authorize the Chief Executive Officer to enter into an amendment to the Power Sales Agreement to participate in the Battle Creek Division Project Diversion Project with an estimated cost of $2 million up to $50 million should any of the current utilities choose not to participate, with an estimated completion date of 2020. Finance, procure, and manage the project if necessary.
Second. Okay, motion is second. Any discussion on the Battle Creek motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Director comments will go with Cece.
Well, I appreciate all the work that went into preparing these materials for us. Thank you, Sherry, for presenting for our group. And I was pleased to hear all the information on the AMI project and status and all the benefits and the good things we're already seeing from that. So that's all.
Okay, thank you. Jim, you know you're next.
I thought you got to go your way.
No, no. You're next, Jim.
I want to thank everybody here. For your support. I mean, this whole organization, I was caught off guard by the letters and the flowers. And, you're a very dear group of people. I honestly, I cherish every one of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Stuart?
So I was at the summer school for directors last week, and actually went through the first three classes and thought it was an excellent introduction to being on a board for a utility. And it's interesting, in the meeting they're talking about, well, some people felt that you should wait at least a year to go through that training, and I'm almost on the opposite end. First month or two, because it's so valuable in just understanding how the cooperative model works. Training, so appreciate going there.
Okay, thank you. Susan?
I just can't believe that it's late July already. It seems like only yesterday we were at the last strategic planning session. And it's just been a whirlwind tour this year with lots of issues as usual. Only observation today.
Bettina.
I don't have any, I guess, new or original comments. Lots of information, as usual, with lots of initiatives and lots of things going on. And I appreciate all the effort that the staff puts into presenting it all in such a great format and all the great discussion that goes on. So thank you.
I have nothing new to add either. So with that, entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion second to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye.